Turn with me to the book of James. We're talking again about prayer. Last week we talked about the prayer of faith in James chapter 5. The importance of prayer, first of all, is critically important. I'm increasingly impressed by the importance of prayer. I really am. I mean, it's just increasingly impressed on me. And I know at times, and hopefully no one here, but at times it strikes people as odd. I just had an experience 2 years ago where we were doing some ministry and it was going very well. And someone in the team had commented, it's because something had happened early and we asked so many people to pray that has carried over into this ministry and it's God at work. And another pastor said, oh, isn't that a spiritual thing to say? That was heartbreaking to me. It really was. And I'm not trying to throw any stones, as I've learned also in life that everything someone says is in context. Who knows what was going on in the person's life, right? You know, who knows? Might have been struggling with something. But that's a sad thing to think, isn't it? Because we believe by faith in the God, the creator of the universe. We believe that God is intimately involved in his creation. That's our lives. And that as we intercede, as we ask him, like a loving father, he is involved. And so prayer is critically important. That's why we're commanded so often as we see to pray, pray, pray. And I am convinced in my life, I'm a doer, so I have a tendency to get it done, right? And I think I missed so often that getting it done would actually have been praying, right? Pray, ask God to work, pray. And as we think about evangelism, you can share the gospel with a million people if you want to, but if you haven't prayed for their soul, you've really missed the point, because God is the saver. And I think it's a beautiful way for people to start, by the way. Pray for people that you know, pray for them by name, ask God to give you opportunities. Some of the men sitting here have experienced that with me, haven't we, men? We've prayed in my office, guys, let's ask God to bring someone, and what, within an hour? Remember that, some of you guys? Within an hour, God brought somebody for us to share with or for me to share with. It's happened so often. So prayer is so important. Pray in every situation. If you're suffering, if you're cheerful, sing psalms. Sing if you're cheerful. That's a wonderful reminder. Sing psalms. Come to God in every circumstance is basically the message there. We talked a little about prayer for the sick here. And just to clarify, I'm not going to re-talk about that one, but I am going to put the verses back up. God doesn't always physically heal the sick. And we'd step back and look at the passage and think that it looks like a formula or whatever. We would want to believe that because we want to be healed. But let's just be honest about reality here. Nobody lives forever. Not in this life, right? Everyone has people they know that have died. God doesn't always heal the sick. It's part of living in this broken, sin-cursed world. God determines our days. And sometimes someone's days are up. When we get to Isaiah, we're going to look at an account in Hezekiah where there is some debate. So I'm not going to make a lot of inference here, even then, when we talk about it. But when Hezekiah prayed for his life to be lengthened, God answered his prayer positively. But there's debate whether he should have even asked, because the rest of his life wasn't the best. Right? He did some very foolish things. And that's not really the point. The point was that made Hezekiah's heart proud. We'll talk about that. But God doesn't always heal the sick. Sometimes he just says no. He told Hezekiah yes. He said, I'll give you, I think it was 5 more years. It might have been 15, 5 or 15 years. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he gave him some more time. So this is certainly not that, where we command God and he heals. And it's not a formula. God doesn't work according to magic formulas and things like that. That's a pagan God. Epaphroditus wasn't healed. Timothy, he wasn't healed. He needed that for some reason. He needed that illness. Erastus was sick. And Paul was the healer. So, and God didn't heal these people. So it's obvious that that's not what's going on there. Prayer for the sick. certainly continuing on in this thing of prayer, isn't it interesting that there is so much emphasis in this last part of James given to prayer, people that are suffering, so much emphasis given on prayer, and so many outworkings of prayer. Prayer for the sick, prayer for your suffering, prayer when you're singing, when you're joyful, right? And so much. And prayer when you have sinned. How incredibly important, powerful prayer. Read it with me today, and we'll unpack this a little bit. Very interesting passage, and we'll see how God leads us through this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Wow, that's a pretty awesome example. Pray with me one more time this morning. Well, Lord, we have been in prayer corporately much today. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm thankful for that opportunity and the opportunity to lead us in that. As our hearts join together, it means something. It's not just me talking, but God, we are together interceding, praying, communing with you, our God. What a privilege. That we would be remiss today to study prayer and not ask you to work, not ask you to help us understand it, this passage. And so we do. You alone, God, can rescue, as we've been singing. You alone can save. You alone can teach us your word. You alone can help us to know rightly what you want us to do, how you want us to apply these things. And so work in us, God. Open our minds and our hearts, our darkened understanding. Remove the veil. Defeat the enemy, God. Help us to see your will. And God, that we would become more fervent and faithful prayers as a result of looking into your word again today. Many of us are faithful, fervent prayers, but God, we all need to grow, and we all need reminded, and we all need to re-engage in this battle. And so I pray that you would encourage us and help us in that endeavor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're at camp at Junior Boys, day one, and I have brand new codeine, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, which I'm very capable of, but I am always the head dean. You're co-deans, but not really. Because I've been doing this for years, and I get a new one every year. Now, if you want to know about the nature of dean ministry at Junior Boys, just hear this. There's a new co-dean every year. Okay? So that should give you a cue in. It's not an easy week. And I saved the message that the other dean, he became my friend, and we're getting to know each other, wonderful man. And he sent me a message, and he said, we joke a lot, you can imagine. You have to, so you won't go insane at Junior Boys. But he said, in all honesty, thank you for helping me walk through this, I've been stressed like I've never been stressed. Thank you for helping me learn and scenarios and things for a fellow pastor. So, wonderful week. We get there day one, and he's green. Of course, he's never done this before. And he's not a young person, but he's young enough in the ministry and everything. We got bombarded day one. I mean, it was insane. It was constant. And he gets woke up, and it's on my side, which I almost felt bad about, but I didn't. But he got woke up at midnight for someone on my side. And they said, we can't get this boy to go to sleep. Can you help us? So he went down there. And I had my phone on vibrate because I leave it on vibrate. I forget to turn it on sometimes. And he stayed up with the boy till 4:30 in the morning. The boy would not go back to sleep. They finally got a hold of me, and I walked down there, and I told him. People always take things wrong, I think. We have a tendency to hear the negative. I told him, I'm thankful that they asked you to do it, because I would have handled it differently. And he said, what did I do wrong? You know, well, no. I am thankful that they called you. I really meant it. I wasn't saying, because I would have said, go to sleep or go home. That would have been it. We would have been there about 10 minutes if it was me, not 4.5 hours. But I was thankful because I think the boy needed the grace of God in that way in his life to see that we were going to be an authority in his life. We were going to work with him. We were going to give him grace. But he was going to, because I came on the next day and I was like, no. And he went home. So he needed to hear that. His grandpa came. His grandpa, we wept with him. And because the boy just will not receive instruction. Bad home life, terrible problems. And we had that all week. But the first day we had multiples of those. And I sent out a prayer request and I said, please pray for us. We are in a spiritual battle. And I believe that. I really do. And thank you for praying, because it really did transform our week. I really believe it. I believe that as a result of our prayers, we ask others to pray, that God worked and it transformed the way that the boys responded to the word. Now, we still have many ministry opportunities, okay? But think about with me how easy it is in life to face challenges in a godless way and not realize that you're doing it. Think about it. I can handle this. Am I equipped to deal with problems with junior age boys? Yes. Could I have handled it? Of course. Right? But is that what I wanted to do? No. You see, what I wanted to do is I wanted God to work in the hearts and lives of people. You see? And it did take pressure off of us, by the way. I mean, God did work. Circumstances were changed. It was really wonderful. If people are ever going to change in those circumstances, if people that don't know the Lord are going to be saved, isn't the Lord going to have to work? We should ask him, amen? We should ask him. We should cry out to him, God, change this circumstance. Change this person's heart. Work. I'm here. I'm ready to serve, but I can't do it. The other option is actually the option of arrogance. It is. It is just the option of human arrogance. I can do it. I'll figure it out. I'll work it out. I'll get it done. I've got the skills. I've got the answers, right? Lord, save us from that. Save us from that. Prayer is so important. My heart breaks when I hear the story of all we can do is pray. Or I can't do that. Elderly people, why don't you pray? Oh, that's all I can do? Wow. No, we need you praying. We need you interceding, asking the creator of the universe to work. Great power. Boy, that's an understatement, isn't it? The creator of all things, you've got his ear. That's some power right there, amen? That is the conduit to the greatest power in and outside of our entire universe. You look up at the universe and you say, the one that made this, that we don't even know the edge of it, will work on my behalf. Wow. Great power. Great power. And it's not that the act of prayer is powerful. Don't be confused or deluded by that. You hear that, oh, prayer is powerful. Depends on what you mean. Because prayer is not powerful. You can pray all you want. If you're not praying by faith to the creator of the universe, it's pointless. It's another one of those mantra type things. It's powerful because God works through our prayer. God is powerful. Notice the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As you pray, as you talk to the creator, his power comes to bear on your circumstance and God responds or works. And that gives us some insight into what we do as we pray. A couple points that I take away from this, and we'll look at the example. It's really cool. The first thing for you to avail yourself of the power that is available in prayer is you have to. Are you ready for it? This is life-shattering. You have to pray. Right? And you would say, duh. But we need to hear this today, don't we? We need reminded. I hope that this gets our attention to pray fervently and regularly as we live out the Christian life. You have to actually pray. For God to work through your prayer, you have to ask. Does God know what you need? Of course he does, right? Does he know what's actually going to happen? Yep. Does that dissuade you from praying? I hope not. I really hope not. And we would have to confess at the end of the day that we don't fully or 100% understand the working of God in God's economy. We would have to admit that. But we would also have to admit that God has asked us to pray, told us to pray, and promised to work through our prayers. So at the end of the day, our responsibility is always going to be to pray. that it's always going to be to have that relational time with the Lord and asking Him, talking to Him, crying out to Him, pray. You have to actually pray for your prayer to be powerful. He says that He works through the prayers of the righteous, very in the prayer of a righteous person. Now, does He mean a sinless person? Of course not, because we're going to see Elijah, right? And Elijah was a sinful person. God worked through his prayers. If this would only be a passage about Jesus, if it was that, right? It just means a person that knows the Lord, a person that is living according to God's word by faith and trying to do God's will. A prayer of a righteous person. Prayer of the righteous person has great power as it's working. So, a few things. Pretty cool verses here. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Isn't that cool? As you seek God, as you cry out to the Lord, as you try to live for Christ, He camps around you and delivers you. See how righteousness is tied to God's working there. If you abide in Me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I found people use this verse sometimes and say, well, we're going to ask whatever we wish then, and God's going to deliver it. Again, it's that whole magic formula thing. That's just twisted theology. If you abide in Me, don't lose that part, right? If you abide in Me and I in you, so the vernacular might be something like, as you follow Christ well, as you know Christ, as you're in Christ and serving Him as your desire, ask whatever you want, and God will give you that desire. That's what He's saying there. That God gives you even the right desires in your relationship with Him. You say it like this: because I want to do God's will, I'm going to ask for God's will, and God is going to deliver God's will. Pretty awesome. Ask whatever you wish. Pray. Make your requests known. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That relational aspect of being in Christ. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions. Don't you love that? Under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look in your eyes will see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent will be trampled underfoot. Because He holds fast to Me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because He knows my name, when He calls to Me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will receive him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And isn't that a beautiful psalm? And there's much in there to talk about, but isn't it a beautiful psalm to put it together for us as human beings? As you know my name, I will. As you seek my, I will. As you draw, I will. You see, as we, this the prayers of the righteous have great power. Right? As we seek God, as we know God, as we grow in our understanding of Him, as we draw near to Him, as He works in our life and works out righteousness, as we become more like Christ, God works on our behalf. He listens to the prayers of the righteous. Prayers can be hindered. Interesting. Hindered, however that means. Stopped. Thwarted. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs together with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So you flip the first part on that, on its head, and you say, husbands, if you refuse to live with your wives in a way that is understanding, so that you understand them and know them and learn, if you refuse, I don't want to hear your prayers. And at that point, to me, there's many verses like this in the scriptures. At that point, to me, I believe the message of the Lord to you is, the only prayer I want to hear is, God, please forgive me. I am ready to start living with my life, my wife, in a way that is understanding. That's the only prayer that God wants to hear right then. Please forgive me for my sin and my stiff-necked life. I want to start living with my wife in a way that is understanding. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be a husband. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Okay, you see? Righteousness, God at work. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Interesting, isn't it? Your prayers can be hindered. If you're doing your own thing, if you're ignoring the word of the Lord, if you're ignoring the will of the Lord, you can't expect God's blessing. You can't expect His answer to your prayers. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I had just said, you know what, I love my sin, I'm going to hold on to it, I want to do what I want to do, God, again, I believe the only prayer God wants to hear at that point is, please forgive me for cherishing iniquity in my heart. I repent of that. I want to be made right with you. Change me. The Lord wouldn't have listened to anything else. I don't care about all your blah, blah, blah. You want some evidence? Study the whole prophets of the Old Testament and see what God says. People are turning from Him and see what He says. I'm not listening to you. Right? I'm not listening to you. No, you're not doing my will. Isaiah, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. You can't have an inconsistent life in Christ and expect God's blessing answering your prayers. You can't be a murderer on Saturday and a prayer on Sunday. Right? That's what the nation of Israel is literally doing. Their hands are full of blood. That's what that literally means. They're killing people. Their prayers can be hindered. It's important. That's a serious deal, isn't it? So think about this with me. The prayers of a righteous person have great power. So if you want to have effective prayer, righteousness is a key component. It's a key component. Being righteous, being holy, knowing the Lord, wanting the things of the Lord in your life, not regarding sin, living with one another in this life in a way that honors Christ and not being selfish and prideful. Faith. Prayer takes prayer. Prayer takes righteousness. Prayer takes faith. Faith is a key element in effective prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all. Without reproach, it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Another sad pastoral experience is, well, I'll pray about it. This is me hearing. Well, I'll pray about it. But God will never answer that. God will never say yes to that. God will never. That's sad to me. We're going to talk a little bit about some people that had effective prayer in their life in a little bit here, but faith, you have to pray in faith. Pray asking for God's will. Pray expecting God to answer with the right answer. Jason prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's a key in faith, isn't it? Right there. Because God wants you to make honest, specific requests. He does. Honest, specific request. Christ, look at how honest and specific Christ was. I don't want to go to the cross. Right? Take this cup from me. But what he said was, this is an example to us. Nevertheless, your will, not my will. He's praying in faith. God, I trust you, is what he's saying there. I trust your will. Whatever the answer is, your will be done. Three times he prayed that. Embracing God's will. Notice what Paul said. He prayed about an infirmity to be removed, but he said that God had something better for him, and he trusted that. And so he was praying in faith, and God told him he wasn't going to heal him. Now, Elijah is given as an example here. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That means that he was a sinner. He had the same kind of fallen nature. But God worked through his prayers, and in a stunning way, amen. I mean, if you think about just like wow moments, praying, and I'm sure everyone around, well, fair amount of people, to us just happened. It's just a drought. But a few people did know, if you read the account in Kings, that it was Elijah's fault. That's bizarre. And if you're the king, and Elijah says he's a prophet of the living God, and you're the king of a nation of the living God, and he tells you that he's going to pray and there's going to be a drought, and then a drought happens, and you know it's his fault, and you hate him as a result, that's weird. Right? That's time to say, you know what, I think maybe I'm wrong here, right? I mean, that just shows the pride of people. But this is what happened. Elijah prayed, think about the wow factor. It didn't rain. Whoa. I mean, that's power right there, isn't it? The forces of nature were held in check because Elijah said, God, here's the example I want you to give the nation of Israel. No rain. God said, okay, let's do it. Wow. No rain. And then here's the evidence. He prayed, and what happened? Rain. Whoa. Okay. Now, you think, again, the people would get it. Oh, this guy is from the Lord. It's very obvious. They didn't. The account is in Kings. There shall be neither rain nor dew these years except by my word. And he prayed that over and over. The word, that the people would understand your word. God told him, go and show yourself to Ahab. When he said, it's time for the rain to be over. Go and show yourself to Ahab. Is this you, troubler of Israel? You see, Ahab knew, didn't he? It's you did it. It's your fault. And so they had that big Mount Carmel thing where, again, that's an example of Isaiah's prayer. Isaiah prayed for the offering to be taken. A big thing of fire came up and burned up God worked on behalf of Elijah. Fire came and took up the offering. Ahab was listening, kind of ish. To me, Ahab's response was like a magic show. He was just like, "Woo, that was interesting." And he just didn't change his heart. That's really sad. But the point of this whole account here, I didn't read it for you. It's an extended account. Is that Elijah, a man just like us, had the ear of the Creator of the universe. God was doing something great through this man. Now, we're not going to take a lot of time on this, but I want you just to step back from this text for a moment and think through with me, how silly would the whole account in 1 Kings 17 and 18 have been if it was devoid of Elijah praying? Elijah was there, and then there was a drought. Right? Think about it. I mean, it would be ludicrous, wouldn't it? The whole point that James says would be lost. That Elijah, a righteous man in a pagan fallen country, asked the Lord to work, and the Lord worked. He asked the Lord to do powerful and amazing things. What did God do? Powerful and amazing things, right? And think about it. You know, how many times have you prayed for something that earth-shattering? Think about how, in a sense, if you would think about it, easy it would be for God to work on your behalf in comparison, right? In the life of a person, a decision you need to make, wisdom that you need, things that you want to happen. Ask God, souls that you would like to see saved. The Creator of the universe can do it. Look at what he did with Elijah. He commanded the very rain, and God sent no rain. Ahab listened to Elijah. Did you know that? Because he brought rain. It hadn't rained and he brought rain. And then Ahab came up and listened and heard, saw the presentation, the prophets of Baal, got killed, all of those kind of things. This hard-hearted king. So even that, the people turned to God on Mount Carmel. They killed the prophets of Baal. At least they turned to God at some level because he showed he was real. And wow. So that's pretty amazing. Elijah's our example. His prayer was effective. Elijah prayed fervently. This is a neat word. I think it's very important for us here. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. And so that's important. Think about it. Again, Elijah felt like he was the only one serving the Lord, so maybe fervent prayer is easier for him. I find for me, when the chips are down, fervent prayer is easier. Do you? maybe when life is easy, it's not as easy. Doesn't come as quickly to me to be fervently praying. He fervently prayed. He prayed. He poured out his heart and soul to the Lord. You can imagine him weeping over where the nation of Israel was. The word can mean to boil or to be hot. It has the idea of passion. He just impassionately poured out his heart to the Lord. And Jesus warned us about these dispassionate prayers. Again, just a silly example. Can you imagine Elijah going through his days like, oh yeah, oh, and by the way, God, would you just, you know, no rain would be great. All right, thank you. Amen. Right? That's just not the sense of what you get there, is it? He was burdened. His heart was broken over the state of Israel. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and 6 months it did not rain. And Jesus warned us about these dispassionate prayers. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Just wrote mantras, right? Blah, 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 blah. They think they will be heard for their many words. I'm sure many, many people do it. Most of the ministry experience I've had with things like that are a couple of stripes of what call themselves Christians. And Catholics are big on that. Very big. They have things they have mantras you are supposed to say. And bump, 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 bump. And I remember my wife was going to pray with a lady one time. She said, I can't pray. Why not? I got to get my beads. Right? And she was just used to that. This is the one I say this word, and I say this word, and I say this word, and I say this word. That's not fervent prayer. That's reciting a mantra. Do not heap up empty phrases. They think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Right? God wants to hear your heart. That's the point. He wants you to relate to Him by prayer. He's not looking for you to go through some form to feel like you've checked some box. And so fervent prayer is important for us. Be honest and be real. Be passionate as you talk to the Lord. It's important. If you want God to work, think about it like this. Go to battle. You know, if you go to battle, prayer is a battle, right? Sometimes it's a battle with your own flesh just to get into the habit and action of prayer. But prayer is a battle. We're going to see just real briefly here why that's true. But if you go to battle in a nonchalant way, how do you suppose the battle's going to go? You're dead meat, right? That's why America wins so much. You know, people are not trained. They don't have the stuff. They don't have the mindset. You go to battle, it's serious business because there's much on the line. When you go to prayer, pray fervently. You're going to battle. You are going to war against the enemy. And that small example from my own life of junior boys, it was a battle. I knew it was also a spiritual battle, and it was war, and it was our own. That's why I asked you guys to pray, because, this ain't no game, this life, is it? The devil wants to destroy people, doesn't he? I mean, we're at war. We've got it so easy and cush in America that we forget that we are embroiled right in the middle of a terrible, raging war for the hearts and souls of people, amen? For the very glory of our Creator, that is a battle. Go to battle. That'll make you fervent right there. Well, Daniel had that mindset. And I love the story. I'm not going to re-preach this. But I love the story. Because here's Daniel. He's reading the Word of God. He's got his paper out. He's calculated. Hey, it's time for us to go back to Jerusalem. And you know what? He believed it, didn't he? And think about Daniel, he could have approached the scriptures like this. Whoa, it's 70 years, how come we're not back yet? Couldn't he? But he didn't. He said, oh, it's time for us to go back. Better talk to the Lord about it. Hey God, 70 years are up, why aren't we back? When are you going to bring deliverance to us? And we have this, and he's talking about the word of Jeremiah here. Jeremiah told ahead of time, was recorded. The book of Jeremiah was put with the word. Very interesting. 70 years were determined for them to be captive. So Daniel starts praying, and while he's doing this, he gets visited by Gabriel the angel. Very interesting. And he says, Daniel, the prayer of you, a righteous man, has been effective. That's what he said. Your prayer, you're a righteous man, your prayers have been heard. And God is going to work. And he gives Daniel some insight into what's happening. There were angels, fallen angels, that were fighting in some way, working to inhibit the people of Israel going back to Jerusalem, even to answer his prayer. It's a battle that we're in, amen? We don't know what's going on as we see it behind the scenes or in the spiritual realm. Daniel, he's there. He's mourning and fasting and asking other people to do the same. He's praying. That is a fervent prayer. Now, I want you to look at this timeline briefly here. Daniel starts praying in Daniel 9. He starts praying because he knows the 70 years are up. And the king that was going, this is when Darius, the Babylonian, was the king. Cyrus is the man that's going, God is going to use. Daniel didn't know that. He could have known that if he would have been able to figure it out. He couldn't have known it. But God had said, Cyrus will be my man. And that was me, second side story. Can you imagine Daniel when the place is getting besieged and he's sitting there and the whole place is about ready to be wiped out by the Persians, and he says, hey, who's the general? Was Cyrus. Cyrus? What? He gets out his copy of Isaiah. Oh, never mind. This is going to be fine. Right? Isn't that cool? So he's praying. It's the first year. And Darius is the king. And he keeps praying. It's the second year. They're still not being delivered. Cyrus isn't even there yet. He's still praying. He keeps praying. 5 years, did you know that? 5 years Daniel prayed before God worked. 5 years. Okay? Give you some context to the whole thing of, well, God's not going to do that or God doesn't do that. He has his own timeline, doesn't he? You see, think about first year. Darius delivers people. What happens? It wasn't Cyrus. In Isaiah, God said, Cyrus is my minister. He will do it. And we have to take God's word and by faith pray fervently. He labored in prayer for 5+ years before God delivered the people. Spiritual warfare. And you get that from Daniel. He was the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me. God had to send Michael, probably the most powerful of the angels of all, because he's the one that binds Satan, to come and help Gabriel get word to Daniel that God's on it, it'll be okay, and it's going to work out. So God restored them through much spiritual and physical opposition because Daniel had decided that he would pray and ask God to do his will. That's awesome. That's how God works. God works through our prayers. This is why prayer is so powerful. It's because you have the ear of the Creator of the universe, and he's going to work. He's intimately involved in your life. He's intimately involved in this world, and he works. He does. He works. He shows up. God has chosen to work through our prayers like Elijah. God could have done all of that. He didn't need Elijah. He didn't need to hear from Elijah. But he chose to work through Elijah. He does that. He didn't need Daniel to say, hey, the 70 years is up. He knew. But he chose to work through the prayers of Daniel. And even he said, because you prayed, God sent Michael to come. It's pretty cool. God works through the prayers of the righteous. So when we love God and want to do his will, we pray for that and he works. And in closing, just a question for us. What do you think God might do through your prayer? What do you think? Sky's the limit, right? You have the Creator of the universe. I mean, what could God do? Anything. Yeah, eternal life, right? Bring eternal life to you or to other people. What might God do through your prayers? That's exciting. That's exciting. Let God build that excitement in you, that fervency. Go to battle. Pray for one another, and let's find out what God's going to do and rejoice together. Let's pray. And God, thank you for the example of these flesh and blood people who are certainly not perfect. We know that they are just like us, nature just like us, that you used to do your will and to do incredible things, things that are just beyond our scope of understanding. Encourage us today, God, as we obey you by being fervent prayers and working us righteousness, God. We don't want to have the kind of life that are two-faced. We're like the man who asks and doubts. But God, we just want to be righteous and pure before you, just honestly by faith trying to do your will. So impress in us today what you want to do with us and through us. We would confess we don't even know how to pray rightly often. And just pray that you could just continue to use our meager offerings in whatever way you're pleased. Have your will, have your way in us. Grow us in this critically important area of our lives and our Christian lives. And we look forward to the time we can see you face to face, where our prayers are just simply conversation with you that we can see. And what a wonderful joy. And so just use us this week and encourage us and grow us together. And just pray that we would sharpen one another continually. In Jesus' name, amen.